Well, on Father's Day, you expect a Father's Day message, don't you? Yes, you do. That's why you're not getting one this morning. You knew I was going to do that. You knew it. No, I think certainly I'll share something with you later about dads that I hope will lift your spirits a little bit. But I want to continue with the series that we have because I want to finish this opening part of the series. We have been talking about the biblical drama of spiritual warfare and what it means. How did spiritual warfare begin? What's it all about? Why are we a part of it? And I think just as important to understand, you are a part of it. You don't get to pick and choose whether you're in the battle. You are, because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, because you are a child of God, and Satan wants to do everything he possibly can to either, number one, take you away from the fellowship with God, or to so discourage you that you stop living your life for the kingdom. That's what he wants to do. And guys, it's the same thing that he's been doing since day one. Same thing. He just repackages it. He just makes it look a little bit different for you, but the battles are all the same. So let me just give you just a little bit of repeating just to make sure that we remember what this is about. Spiritual warfare encompasses, made me cough. Is that spiritual warfare? He's making me cough right now. All right, let me back up. Spiritual warfare encompasses Satan's rebellion against God. That's where the whole thing starts. It starts in heaven. Through his pride, he wants to be like the Most High. That's what it says. And because of that, he's cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels go with him, and those are the demonic hosts that are active today. Now, there are a set number of not only demons, but angels. The same ones that were created at the beginning of time are still the same ones that are in existence right now. You know those people that say, well, we lost somebody because heaven, God needed another angel in heaven. That's a nice sentiment. I realize that makes you feel good, but it's not accurate. You don't become an angel when you die. You become now a spirit that's going to be in the presence of God as his child. So angels and demons, the numbers don't change on that. But that's where they came from. They were the ones that followed Lucifer, which is his name, in heaven, and when he was cast out, became then Satan, or the devil, or the accuser. Okay, you with me? This is all review, so you know all of this. But here's the second part of what we talked about. It not only started with the rebellion, but at the heart of the warfare is something you cannot forget, and that is that God is sovereign over all things. And in his sovereignty, he has already determined that this rebellion is ultimately going to fail. Amen. See, you cannot forget that part, church, because if you don't focus on that as much as the first part, then you're just going to walk around getting beat up all the time thinking, what's the point? I mean, we've been praying about some things very intently over the last 15, 16 months, and a lot of them didn't happen. A lot of them didn't go the way we were praying that they would. I mean, that happens in your life all the time, doesn't it? Aren't there things in your life that you're praying for and they don't happen that way? Of course you do. Of course that happens. What's your response? How is it you react to those things? I think sometimes we have to remember, when we pray, God loves to answer our prayers with yes, but sometimes he answers no. He answers no. You don't get everything that you ask God for. How many of you could say praise God? I'm excited that I did not get everything I asked for. I look back at some of the dumb stuff, Vance, that I asked for, and I think, oh my goodness, I'm glad God knows better than I do. I did not need a Trans Am at the age of 16. Now, if you're old enough to know what a Trans Am is, then you're about my age. So, shame on you. But God's already determined. This is ultimately going to fail. But in the meantime, until that day comes when the war is over, we've got to fight the battles, and you're in it. You're in it. Don't tell yourself you're not, because you're kidding yourself. There are battles every single day that we have to fight, and it comes down to the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And I'm going to talk more about that in the weeks to come. So, the threads of Satan's rebellion can be seen all throughout the scriptures, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And we see it demonstrated by the things that took place. In the Old Testament, it was specifically about the nation of Israel, God's people. So it starts, though, and we said this is a big play, right? We've been looking at this as a biblical drama. And there are six acts in the drama. The first act is the creation. That's the time when the rebellion began. The second act was the fall of man into sin. That was Satan's best day. He's had his best day. You know that, right? His best day has come and gone. That was when he got Adam and Eve to join with him and to say, we don't need God. Because that's what they were doing. They said, we don't need God. That's what Satan tempted them with. They said, God told you not to eat of that tree. You know why? Because he knows if you do, you're going to be just like him. That's what Satan's lie was. And it is. It's all a lie. But they took that and they fell. Sin entered into the world. Act 3 was all that we read throughout the Old Testament. Act 4 was that the drama intensified in the New Testament because of the life of Jesus. And now we're ready to get into Act 5. Two more acts. We're going to hit them today and then we're done. Okay, wait. Let me take my watch off. You guys are looking for that, I know. Okay, there we go. Because he'll preach till 3 is what you're saying. You know that. And I will, because Mike's here. I'm glad Michael's here. All right, here's Act 5. All right, this is the biblical drama. Act 5 is seen in the first Christians working out this new freedom that they have in Christ. The church began in the second chapter of Acts. If you want to read where the first churches began to meet, where believers began to come together, which is what a church is. That's what we are. We're believers that come together and desire to see the world impacted for the kingdom of God. The first church started in the second chapter of Acts. Jesus has gone back to heaven, okay? And then the disciples come together, and just before Jesus goes, he does two things. Number one, he gives them the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is that he told them, I want you to go into all of the world, and I want you to preach this gospel. I want you to teach people what it means and be a demonstration of how to live life as a follower of the Father. But, he said, not yet, wait. He said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there. Now, if I'm a disciple, I'm going, what do you mean wait? I'm ready to go. Let's go. You're risen from the dead. We're about to watch you go back up into heaven physically. We're going to get to see this happen. You want me to wait? I'm fired up. Let's roll. You know, God's time is always perfect. I know that's something that you don't want to hear when you're asking him about something. You don't want to hear that, right? Because if it's not happening at the moment you want it to, you're going, let's go, God. Come on. Bring it. But God's timing is always perfect. So Jesus said, boys, I don't want you to go yet. I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait there. What were they waiting for? They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. Are you praising God this morning for the helper that he's given you? I would not want to be walking through this life by myself, spiritually. Because I know what I'm capable of doing. I know my failure rate when I don't keep my eyes set on him. And see, to think that somehow, you know what, I don't need God through this. I mean, yeah, I come to church. It's nice. We get nice pigs in blankets. Is that a pig in a blanket? Is that what that was? We get nice things with sausages. I didn't even get one of them. I wanted to want you to know. But you know, you need God in your life every single day. God should not be a Sunday part of your life. Every day. Every day. So God sent the Holy Spirit to come. And in that, then, they receive power to be able to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. So those are the first churches when those people began to come together. Now, while there are numerous accounts of the Holy Spirit active in the first Christians, there aren't too many of spiritual conflict, like warfare. There aren't too many of those after the book of Acts as it goes on. But there is one, and that's the one we're going to look at just for a moment, and it was between Paul and a fortune teller. Paul and a fortune teller. It's in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Now, before I say anything else, I want you to understand something. The Bible is very clear about the fact that God expressly forbids fortune tellers, mediums, anything of that in the life of a Christian. It's back in Leviticus 19:31. He says very clearly, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists because you will be defiled by them. Now, there may be some of you sitting here this morning thinking, okay, wait, Pastor Dave. I hear you talk about this stuff a lot, but that was Leviticus. That was like 5,000 years ago. And you're telling me I still should listen and do what God said 5,000 years ago? Folks, God is not diminished by passage of time. His law that was true then is the same law that's true today. But you see, people don't want to think that way anymore because they're thinking, no, wait a minute, man. Hey, we're enlightened now. We're so much wiser now. We're so much more inclusive of things. We understand better about how we should live among one another. How's that going so far? No, Leviticus 19:31 says, don't have anything to do with it. Now, again, given a long time ago, but the power of that rule is still important, perhaps even more so today. So let me tell you this, church, and I want to be real with you, and I want you to be real with yourself. If you have ever been to a palm reader, if you've ever had a tarot card reading, if you've ever been to a seance, if you've ever done anything with a spiritualist or a mentalist, you need to confess that before God and ask Him to remove the influence of what that has been in your life. You say, Pastor Dave, I'm not possessed. I'm not talking about possession. People only think exorcist. That's all you got to worry about. If I'm not getting exorcist, is that a word? Exorcist. Then I'm okay. No, it's not that at all. Because here again, remember, what is it about Satan that we know? He is what? He's clever and he's a liar. That's right, but he's clever. So he makes things seem like they're very innocent. Because when you involve those things in your life, the reason God said don't do that is because when you do, you're not just opening a door of your life for Satan to come in, which is exactly what that does. You're giving him access to your life. But you're hanging out a big flashing neon sign that says, anybody else, come on too. Anything else that Satan wants to do in my life, come on. You are opening the door to him. Now, let's make it even more so. And now some of you aren't going to like me a lot when I get done with this, but that's okay. I still love you. Horoscopes. If you read the horoscope in the paper, you go, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, it's next to the funnies. Come on, that's nothing. It's for fun. No, it's based on reading the stars in order to tell the future. That's a form of divination. That's expressly forbidden by God. How about a Ouija board? One of the most demonic things ever created and marketed and put into people's homes was a Ouija board. Completely demonic. Magic 8-Ball. You ever heard of that? You know what that is? Pastor, that's a child's game. No, it's not. It is a tool of Satan to be bringing things into your life that are not of God. My friends, if you have anything like that in your house, please, I am pleading with you, throw them away and then ask God to come and to cleanse your home. One more, you know I'm gonna do this. This is why I rail against Harry Potter. Because what that whole thing does, it trivializes the darkness and the danger of witchcraft and sorcery. See, now you're looking at me going, come on, Pastor Dave, man. It's kids. It's innocent, right? It looks innocent, but it brings in an acceptance of things that God has said is strictly forbidden. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this statement. You cannot do battle against Satan and expect to win and have victory when you have swung the gate of your life and your home wide open and invited him in. You cannot win. You cannot win. You hear me? You say, Pastor Dave, you sure get wound up about that stuff. Yeah, it's serious. You know why I do? Because I want you to walk in victory every single day. And you cannot do that if you're using the tools of the enemy. And it's a simple thing to do. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. I've been honored to do a number of house blessings, and I love doing those. Now, you may go, well, Pastor Dave, do you think maybe you should come to our house and pray a blessing over our house? Now, first of all, it doesn't matter that I'm praying, but I'd be happy to do that for you. I would be honored to come to your house and, man, we'll pray and we'll anoint the doorways and the thing. You say, again, man, isn't that kind of overkill? Well, how serious are you? How intent are you at walking in the victory of Jesus Christ every day of your life? That's what you need to do. So anything like that that's a part of your home, please get rid of it. If you participated in any of those things, please stop and ask God to forgive you and to cleanse your heart and to cleanse your mind. Okay? All right, now, let me go back to Peter's encounter. You thought I was going to get all off track. I'm right on this. I know exactly where I am. Take your Bibles, turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fifth book of the New Testament. Okay, Acts 16. Let me tell you the story about what happened. This is Paul and the fortune teller. Starting verse 16. Just going to read three verses of it. It goes on a little bit, but you can read that. It says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men, they're servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul just became so troubled, tired of it." That's another word, I think, to say that. So no, just tired of it. That he said he finally became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Now, there's a couple things that you see in just these few verses. The first one is this. Once again, God's power is supreme and superior to that of Satan. And watch this, that same power is in each of you. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. I've talked to some of you, and I've had this happen to me, and I shared this with you a while back. I was young, actually, very young. I woke up in the middle of my bed. I was still junior high or high school. I mean, I was a kid. And I felt like something was laying on top of me. And in that, there was such a darkness. I couldn't explain how I knew what it was. But there was some, and I was absolutely terrified. I had never been as afraid as I was in that moment, feeling that this thing was just laying on top of me. And for some reason in my mind, in my spirit, I thought, this is demonic. I didn't have a full understanding of it, but I thought, this has got to be demonic. I couldn't speak. I couldn't call out to my mom or my dad. All I could muster was to say one word. What do you think I said?
Jesus.
That's all I said. Because in the Bible it tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess. You know what else? The spirit of darkness, Satan and his demons, cannot exist in the same place as Jesus is. He sends them to flight. You say, well, what happened? It was gone. I said, Jesus, it was gone. I sat up on the side of my bed. I'm thinking, holy smokes. My heart was going like this. You say, were you scared? Yeah, I was scared. Are you kidding me? Of course I was scared. But I wasn't afraid. Two different between those two things. There wasn't a spirit of fear that came on me. It was just, holy cow, what was that? But at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess. The enemy must flee from Jesus. Amen. He has to. So you see that here in this account. My friends, again, you have that same authority in Jesus Christ, every one of you. You say, Pastor Dave, I don't know the Bible that well. Doesn't matter. You say, Pastor Dave, I haven't been a Christian that long. That does not matter. Pastor Dave, you don't know the things I've done or maybe even some of the things I'm doing right now. Can I tell you that's important to deal with that? But it does not matter. The greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, these are the verses, church, that we have got to come into our lives and know that every day, this is how I should be living. To have victory. Victory in my school. Victory at work. Victory in the mall. Victory in my home. Victory because of Jesus Christ. Now, the battle between Christians and Satan, as we said, that began back with Adam and Eve. It continued through the entirety of the Bible, and watch, it's going to continue all the way to the end of time when Jesus comes back and Satan is done. And so again, that's what we're preparing for. But my friends, it's not a game. It's not cute. It's not trivial. They're not things that we should allow our children, by all means, to be exposed to. It needs to be taken seriously. But it also, watch now, you must approach it with confidence and no fear because of Jesus Christ. Confidence and no fear. Say, yeah, I've got some weaknesses in my life. I've got some things I know. The enemy comes, Satan comes, and he keeps banging me with this thing, and I fall more often than I stand. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So my friends, there are going to be times we're going to fail. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. I know that's a revelation for some of you. I apologize if I burst your bubble on that. That's the sound of a bubble bursting, by the way. You're not perfect, but what you are is forgiven. And you have access to the throne of God. And whenever you need Him, which is going to be every day, every moment of every day, He is there to bring authority, to bring power because of His love for you. So don't walk in fear. Don't be timid about the things that are going on around you. You face them head on and know that He goes with you. Okay, here's the last act. That was Act 5. Here's Act 6. It is my favorite act of the whole thing. Because the final act is Satan's demise. And remember the word manifestation that we talked about before, when you can see things physically that are taking place? When Satan is defeated, we're going to see the full manifestation of the glory of God. That's what we promised, church. Remember back in the beginning, before the first act, I said that we have the entirety of this story laid out in front of us. We have the whole thing right here. Ever been to a show, like a theater show? I've had the privilege of going to a Broadway show. That was great. I don't know how many of you have been able to go up there and take it. That's amazing, isn't it? It's incredible how wonderful. I mean, all the spectacle. I saw My Fair Lady on Broadway back in 1976, just a few years ago. It's amazing because I'm only 17 years old. I was on Broadway, and if I remember, it was Rex Harrison. I mean, it was the guy from the movie doing the Broadway show. It was amazing. And yeah, he still spoke the songs. You know that, right, Christy? Anytime you see Rex Harrison, he doesn't sing, he speaks the words because he can't sing. That's why, that was apparently why. So I've been to a Broadway show. I've also been to high school productions. My two sons went to Mechanicsburg High School, graduated there, and so I went to all the shows that they were in. I mean, those were amazing productions. They used to get screens and costumes and sets from New York City. They would have them brought down to use in their high school production. So it was amazing. But any show you go to, you walk in and the usher gives you a booklet. It's called a playbill. And the playbill gives you the outline of the show. It gives you a synopsis of each of the acts. It lists the cast of characters and a little blurb about them. Well, here's the thing, if I can use this term. The Bible, that's your playbill. This is your playbill. This lays out the entirety of the act, of the drama. And you know what I did? I went to the end, and I peeked at the end. Turn to Revelation 20, if you have your Bibles with you. Revelation 20. And with this, I'll start to close. 20th chapter, Revelation. This is being revealed to John in the first verse. Watch this. He says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a giant chain." Put a word picture in your mind. See that. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a giant chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. That's the promise that we have. By the way, that time when Satan's released for a short time, you aren't going to be a part of that. You're not in that. But Satan's going to be bound. He's going to be taken. He's going to be put into the abyss for 1,000 years. And then at the final white throne judgment, he's going to be thrown in the eternal lake of fire. See, that's the end of the drama. That's it. It started at the beginning in his pride when he said, "I want to be like the Most High." It's going to end with his total and complete demise. And again, what this shows us is that ultimately, my friends, spiritual warfare is not angels versus demons. It's not Satan and demons versus humans. It's God versus Satan. And the fight's over. I mean, it's over. This would be like Mike Tyson and Carol Channing getting in the ring together. That wouldn't be much of a fight, would it? Do you even know who Carol Channing is, many of you? Yeah, you got to be at least probably, what, 40, 50? Matt, do you know who Carol Channing is? My man. All right, I appreciate that. I knew I could count on you. It's not a fair fight. The fight's over. Because the fight is not with Satan against us. All he's doing is he's coming after us in order to try to have victory over God. It's an impossibility. It'll never happen. And see, when we as Christians begin to live our lives with that complete and utter understanding that we are victorious because of Jesus Christ, my friends, it's going to change the way you go through your day. It's going to change it completely. Because now I'm just not eking through trying desperately not to step on a landmine. Now I'm walking through this knowing that when I get hit, when it comes at me, I'm still going to be victorious because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But life's going to hit you. You're going to lose a grandma. You're going to lose a stepfather. You're going to lose a brother in the Lord. You're going to lose a job. Maybe an accident happens, something physically. All kinds of things are going to hit us. But church, that does not mean that we're defeated. And even in those dark times, even in those desperate moments, you're walking and living with a strength and with, watch now, a joy that people are going to say, how can you smile in the midst of this? Thank you. Glad you asked. You know, church, that's what witnessing is. Witnessing is not pounding people over the head with a Bible on a street corner someplace. Witnessing is just simply living your life to the glory of God, and then when he gives you an opportunity, you get to tell them, let me tell you why I'm like this. It's not because of me. It's because of Jesus Christ in my life. Church, that's what I want for every single one of us. Spiritual warfare is laid out through the entirety of the Bible. As we know, it starts at the beginning, the fall, Old Testament, New Testament, the early church, and then Satan's demise. But the thing you must always remember is that God is with you every single step of the way. All you need to do is just go to him. That's why prayer, church, should be something that is a continual part of our lives. That's what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. It didn't mean that you were always mumbling or talking with your eyes closed and your hands folded. It meant that you lived with an attitude of prayer. I'm walking along, boom, something happens. Father, I need you right now. God, give me wisdom. You don't have to close your eyes. God will still hear you even with your eyes open. I don't know if you knew that or not. You just say, Father, I need you right now. Show me, God. Teach me. Go before me. Help me. Strengthen me. Calm me. Give me peace right now. That's what it means to live every day as a child of God. And that's what it means to have victory in spiritual warfare. Now, next week, I'm going to start talking about the day-to-day aspects of what this means. Right now, we've been talking about grand things, creation, end of the times, Old Testament, New Testament. Now, we're going to talk about much more specific things that I pray are going to help to teach you what it means. Say, Pastor Dave, that's all great. We're sitting in here. It's great. It's wonderful. Everybody's real nice. I'm comfortable. I'm relaxed. But what about when it's happening to me? What about when it's in my face and I feel this rising up in me and this is not a godly response I'm about to have? What do I do then? That's what we're going to talk about. Bow your heads with me, if you would. Well, Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. And I thank you, Father, for your love. And I thank you for the promises that we have. And God, I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters that you would go before us, that when we are in the midst of the battles, whatever that may be, whether it's temptation, whether it's a failure, whether it's a struggle, something hard, something difficult, that we would know, Father, that because of Jesus Christ in our lives, that we can be victorious. But we must stand. We must be firm. And it's in these times, Father, that we call on you to go before us. So God, again, we thank you for our dads today. I pray your blessing for each of them. Thank you, God, for the impact that they made in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we would just be grateful for what it is you've given us every single day to your glory and honor. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.